All right, let's talk about scaling your practice and the obstacles that get in the way. This is Max Gologli with SRP Medical Marketing. And today, what I want to share with you is why you aren't able to pay yourself what you're worth and why you're not able to take as much time off as you would like. So this past weekend, we had our private client mastermind group. These are people that are in my top level group. And what we do is we get together 3 times a year in a group for 2 days to talk about our business, or really their businesses. And we talk about things that are very near and dear to their heart. And the number one topic that came up this past weekend was how to scale your practice. Now, today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some insights on how you can scale your practice and scale it very, very quickly. But the first thing you need to understand is scaling your practice is not about hiring superstar employees. I'm going to say that again. Scaling your practice is not about hiring superstar employees. In order for you to scale your practice quickly, and what I mean quickly, what I'm talking about is enabling you to take time off away from the practice without having to check in, and most importantly, paying yourself what you're worth. See, the problem with most doctors is they don't believe in, or they don't pay themselves what they're worth. They actually believe in this myth that you have to pay yourself last as the owner. And I don't believe in that at all. The whole purpose of owning a business is to pay yourself first. And so what I want my doctors to do is I want them to pay themselves first. I mean, imagine, could you imagine a lawyer not charging what they're worth? Could you imagine a lawyer not paying themselves first? Well, that's what I want for my doctors. And the key to that is creating this culture and the values, which I'm about to tell you about. So before I go any further about culture and values, I want to share with you a story that broke over this past week. And I think it's a really great illustration. So I'm going to pull this up on my screen so that you can see it. In fact, let me go over here. Is this story basically is from, it's a story about Basecamp. Now, if you're not familiar with who Basecamp is a software provider, a SaaS, software as a service provider, that provides project management tool. I've used Basecamp off and on for a number of years. They've been around for, gosh, 10, 12 years. In fact, they actually wrote the book when it comes to things like company culture, remote work, and all of that. In fact, they were one of the leaders in creating an environment where there was remote work back way before COVID, before all of us were like, hey, remote work is awesome, right? So they're really the leaders in this. They do things like give their employees reduced hours over the summer so they can take extended summer vacation. They have all kinds of great new way thinking, especially 10, 12 years ago, when it comes to how you structure a company and culture in order to get the superstar employees that you want. Well, the interesting thing happened is it has happened over the last 5, 6 years in America is the political conversation has overtaken the workplace. And what the CEO of Basecamp said today, or said this past week, very simply, and they have joined a company called Coinbase in doing this, is they are banning social or political talk at work. Now, imagine that in today's day and age, right? Because this is a pretty political society that we're in. You know, if you aren't taking a political position, you're basically assumed to be part of the problem. Now, I will tell you, at my own companies, I don't allow discussion of politics. I just don't. You'll notice that in my blog posts, you will rarely, if ever, I'm sure I've done it once or twice, but I just don't talk about politics. I have my personal views. I have my positions on things. If I do talk about politics, it's from a standpoint of understanding how that political message is being used from a marketing standpoint and how you can adapt that to your organization. Okay. So I take a straight approach of this is not the place for discussing politics. So I fully agree with what Basecamp and Coinbase's CEO has done. Now, here's the interesting thing at Basecamp, and this is where they got skewered, which in reality, I think they should be applauded for, is what the CEO did is in their blog post, is he put out that, hey, this is not the place for you to discuss politics. No more articles, no more chat rooms. This has become too divisive of an issue, and it's keeping us away from our task at hand. This doesn't basically, this does not align with our task and our mission as a company. And what he did was he offered, if you had been there for 3 years, he would give you, if you wanted to leave, you could leave. They'd give you 6 months severance. If you'd been there less than 3 years, I think they gave you 3 months severance, or based on, you got a month severance based on how many years you had been there. And of course, the web is making a big deal about, oh my God, a third of the people have left Basecamp. What a horrible idea this is. Quite frankly, I think it's absolutely brilliant. And I applaud you, the CEO of Basecamp. I think what you did is exactly what you talk about in all of your books. And that is, culture is king. I want to say that again. Culture is king. And as my longtime mentor, the late, great Rob Berkley said, is that culture is like leftovers in the back of the fridge. Left alone, they wind up smelly, disgusting, and toxic. Yeah. You have to create a culture, a fanatical culture that people 100% buy into. Now, if you want to make your culture about politics, great, go for it. Have at it, okay? If you want to make it not about politics, go ahead, go for it, have at it. Realize you are going to, in both cases, alienate people who want one or the other. And that's exactly what you want. You see, culture is so important that if people aren't bought in to the culture 100%, they are not going to be a fit for your organization. And they're going to make life a living hell for you, okay? These are the type of people that when you go on vacation, they wait for you to leave. And then all of a sudden, they want to stir things up about how they should change things and things aren't going right. These are the people that in the break room, what they try to do is they try to win over other employees to their way of thinking. Now, if you have a culture like that, where there's a lot of drama, great, that's going to be right up your alley. For me, I have found that that culture doesn't work. Now, I'm not talking about suppressing thought, and I'm not talking about suppressing opinions. I have plenty of different people that work for me. I am, make no bones about it, I follow Jesus Christ. Now, you want to call me a narrow-minded Southern Christian? That's your call, but that's not what I am, okay? And I've had Muslims work with me in my companies and hire me. Mormons, I've had Jewish. I mean, my girlfriend is Jewish. I mean, I've had atheists, agnostics. It doesn't matter to me. You know why? Because I don't require you to pray in the workplace. That's my choice. It's not yours. You don't have to do it, okay? I will admittedly tell you, I am very much libertarian. Now, that can mean a lot of different people to a lot of different things and places, but I believe in personal choice. You want to be transgender, but I'm certainly not going to carry your flag, okay? That's not my place in the workplace. That's not what I do, okay? So I'm giving this as an example just because that's my personal belief, but that just because it's my personal belief doesn't mean that I need to carry your flag. My good friend Perry Marshall once said, Matt, if that's when we were talking about some stuff, he goes, if that's what you believe in, then you should be that. It's pretty good advice. But this comes back to your workplace. So you have to be really clear about your culture, which then leads me to, how do you define the culture? You have to define it with values. And you always hire for value match. You never, ever, ever hire somebody who doesn't match your values. Okay. On my wall, you'll see it right behind me, and I'm purposely showing it today, is you'll see that I have the sign grit. So grit is one of my main values of my organization. By the way, so is resourcefulness. I really don't want anybody on my team that isn't resourceful, because sometimes I just need them to make decisions. But I want those decisions made in the context of my values. One of the biggest things that you can do to scale your practice is get your culture right and get people aligned with your values. This was a major topic. In fact, we spent almost half a day talking about it again, because it's such an important topic for the growth of our practices. It was probably the number one thing, if not probably, it was the number one thing that drove the growth of our clinics from three locations, or from one location to three in 18 months. In fact, it was actually probably shorter. It was probably more like growing it that way in about 9 months, because once we got our culture and values set, then things just took off from there. I'll also tell you, it's the biggest reason why I decided to break from my partner in that, because we didn't have a values match. I'm not going to go into the details on that, but that's the reason. That's not to say his values were wrong and mine were 100% right. We just didn't match. You know, it's probably the same reason why marriages don't work anymore or friendships end. Values don't match. And it's really important that those values do match. So how do you determine these values? Well, that's one of the main things that we work with folks in our private client group. In fact, a lot of people come to me because they want to improve their marketing, or they need more lead flow, or they need to convert more people, or they want to scale. And all of it comes down to culture and values. So here's my question for you today. What are your values of your organization? Do you just have them up here? Have you taken the time to write them down? Have you defined them? Have you defined what they are and what they're not? Have you laid this out to your staff more than just once? Do you manage everything based on the values? I'm going to finish with this story. So as you know, as you may or may not know, I'm a huge college football fan. I'm a big LSU fan. LSU Tigers, I spent 5 years down in Baton Rouge. I did a major project for the LSU alumni base called the University Club of Baton Rouge. And I will tell you right now, I live gold. I bleed purple and live gold. Okay, that's kind of one of their phrases and sayings. And I'm not from Louisiana. I didn't go to school there. I'm from Chicago. And I just love LSU. Don't know why. Well, I know why, because I was there and I just love the whole system, right? I love the people down there. Loved my time in Baton Rouge. So here's the thing is that, you know, there was a coach there who's now at the University of Alabama. His name is Nick Saban. And Nick was, maniacal about his culture and values. And it's one of the reasons why they became so darn successful is that he has prototypes for each of the positions. So for example, the corners, the secondary people, they have to be a specific height within a specific height within, you know, they have to have a certain grade point average. They have to have certain physical specimen, things like that. Thanks, Vikram. I appreciate all the comments. Not really sure what all of that means, but anyway. So the point is that he looks for people that have a very specific fit to the culture. Notice he doesn't make the culture fit the people that he's recruiting. You want to make sure that the people that you bring into your organization fit your culture. Too many companies, what they do is they go, I got this great guy or great gal over here and I want to bring them on, but they don't fit the culture. So they try to make the culture fit. Hire for culture and values fit first. Culture and values fit first. Look at what great sports organizations do. Look at what great companies do. And you can do this in your own small company. I don't care if you have 4 people on staff. You need to have a culture and values, and everything has to be managed to that. All right, with that, I'm going to let you go. But yeah, probably one of the more controversial topics. I'm sure some people will disagree with it, and that's perfectly fine. But the reality is at the end of the day, this is my company. And your practice is your practice. The practice is there to serve you and your patients. It's a foregone conclusion you're serving your patients. But the purpose of having a company as an entrepreneur is to provide for you and your family. You certainly didn't get in this to struggle, okay? I'm sure you got into a certain degree because you wanted to serve patients, and that's a foregone conclusion. I'm just assuming that's the number one reason. But the reason that comes right behind that is pay yourself first. You do that by creating a culture, creating values in the organization, and hiring for culture and values fit first. Everything else will come into play thereafter. So that's what I have for you today. If you would like to get my latest book, The Anatomy of a Seven-Figure Medical Practice, go to srpmedicalmarketing.com/book. You can also book a 30-minute consult with me after you purchase the book. Well, you get the book for free. So check it out. And I look forward to talking to you very, very soon. Have a great day, everybody. Keep it classy.